This is Fresh Air. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review of a new reissue featuring the late pianist, bandleader, and arranger Gil Evans. Evans first attracted notice writing for Claude Thornhill's big band in the 1940s. In 1949, Evans was a key participant in trumpeter Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool sessions. Later, he championed the music of Jimi Hendrix. This reissue features the sound of Evans in the early 60s.
Evans' final years happily contradicted the rule that great artists get their due only when they're dead. By the time Evans died on March 20th, record companies, critics, and club owners had all caught on. But if you want to know why Evans was branded the greatest jazz arranger, the one who elevated arranging to the art of recomposition, the place to start is his greatest period from 1957 to 1964. During that time, he arranged four albums for Miles Davis and recorded five of his own, including the all-time classic Out of the Cool. A month before Evans' death, Verve reissued on CD a new and improved edition of his last album from those peak years, The Individualism of Gil Evans, recorded in 1963 and 4. Here's an excerpt from Time of the Barracudas with Wayne Shorter on tenor sax. Evans had a habit of taking ideas other musicians were using and making virtues out of their shortcomings. In the 70s, he'd make good use of dreaded synthesizer and funk bass. But in the early 60s, he'd been thinking about his friends Miles Davis and Claude Thornhill. Davis had popularized the movement away from soloing over intricate chord sequences. Now, players would improvise on a single mode or scale for as long as they liked. But the drawback to modal jazz is that it often lacks a sense of forward motion. Evans had faced a similar problem arranging for Claude Thornhill in the 40s. He loved the Thornhill band's delicate orchestral textures, the chords that hung like a cloud, as Evans liked to say. But he'd found Thornhill's snowfall charts rather static. When Evans sat down to write his own stretched-out music, his solution to Davis's and Thornhill's problems was to combine their approaches. He'd back modal solos with gorgeously billowing chords, but would also keep the instruments moving within the dense harmonies. Imagine you're looking out the window of a plane flying through a cloud bank. Sometimes you get a glimpse of the world outside. Sometimes it's all a big blur. Sometimes you notice the changing texture of the cloud itself. Listen to the beginning of Gil Evans' Proclamation. Thank you. Gil Evans' best music continues to amaze me. It's been said that when pretty French harmonies entered jazz, the music lost its momentum. Before that, the emphasis was on swinging from one place to the next. Afterwards, the pretty place itself became enough. Evans personified that shift, yet for all his tendency to write him slow and pretty, with the improvised parts almost an afterthought, no one questions his identity as a jazz man. His blues don't sound like anyone else's, but you always know they're the blues. When you think about what Gil Evans accomplished, it seems impossible. And yet in those great old days, he seemed to do it every time.
Kevin Whitehead is a regular contributor to Downbeat and Cadence. He reviewed the individual of Gil Evans, a reissue on the Verve label. This is Fresh Air.